20th century has seen the birth of a very interesting organisation called the Wycliffe Bible Translators. It has the aim of translating the Bible into the languages of the world. And by the way, its story would make a very interesting spot on its own. But isn't it interesting that when they were looking for a name for this organisation, they chose Wycliffe, the name of an Englishman who lived in the 1300s. You see, this man, John Wycliffe, is somebody very special in church history. Now, if you could get a map out and find the village of Wycliffe, which is just north of Richmond in Yorkshire, you would find in the little AA book that it says population 283. That's where his ancestors came from. And the very fact that it's called Wycliffe suggests that they were probably the well-to-do lords of the manor. Certainly, his ambition to be a scholar became known fairly early on, so that by the time he was in his late teens, he was at Oxford University, and there is a record of him having been awarded a BA degree in 1356. There are other records of him receiving divinity degrees. The last one was Doctor of Divinity. He was a prolific writer, and at first his writings were really protests against corrupt priests and worldly popes, people who were taking massive taxes from England. For these were the Dark Ages, when people bought church offices for themselves and for their children, paid to have masses said for their souls. And all we need to say at the moment is that the Roman Catholic system was in total control, and that it was totally corrupt at the same time. Now, the more Wycliffe realised the full depth of the corruption, the more he questioned it. And his enemies said he was no more than a dog going round barking at the true church. And there were a couple of really serious attempts to snuff out his life. Once he nearly was taken and burnt alive, and it was only the protection of a member of the royal family, John of Gaunt, in fact, who saved him and saw that he came to no harm. Actually, without that protection, he would have had his life snuffed out at that point, and we would never have had a New Testament Bible in the English language as early as we did. However, he was ejected from Oxford University because of his opinions, and he became the minister of a church at Lutterworth, which is a town south of Leicester. Here he spent the rest of his life preaching, developing his theology, writing, and most important of all, translating the Bible. It's really quite amazing that in a time of all-pervading spiritual darkness, one gospel light was starting to shine. For Wycliffe was the first man in centuries in Britain who believed in the absolute authority of Scripture, and he was determined that he was going to measure the Catholic Church of his time by Scripture. So when the Roman Catholic Church said the bread and the wine changed into the real body and blood of Christ, the so-called mystery of the altar, Wycliffe would say, no, that is not in the Bible. And so it went on. In many ways, on his own, he discovered the truths of the Reformation 200 years before the Reformation occurred. And that's why many scholars have called him the morning star of the Reformation. Remember, printing hadn't been invented. Wycliffe had to hand write his Bible translation. So he took Jerome's Latin Bible as a start point, and then he translated it into the sort of English which was then current. It's actually Chaucer's English. Other Oxford scholars went to Lutterworth. Wycliffe seemed to be sort of magnetic and attract them, and they offered to help in his work. Sad day it was then, on New Year's Eve 1384, when he had a stroke in the pulpit and died. But the work didn't stop, because there were those other scholars who had gone and who were determined to carry on where he had laid down his pen. He had already organised what he called Bible men to take the gospel out to the people. Now, his enemies called them Lollards. If you've never heard of Lollards, it's just an old English word, and it was actually a rude English word for mutterers and murmurers and people who said nasty things about other people. These Lollards didn't have the sort of protection that John Wycliffe had, and as a result, many of them died the agonizing death of being burnt alive. These were true martyrs for a biblical gospel. And the name of John Wycliffe became so hated, indeed detested, by the Roman Catholic authorities that they actually ordered his bones to be dug up and burned. And would you believe that the Pope's representatives actually carried that out 40 years after the man had died? They dug his bones up from Lutterworth churchyard, they burnt the bones and tossed the ashes into a stream nearby, which is called the Swift. A later chronicler had something to say about that, and I quote him: "They burnt his bones, they cast his ashes into the Swift, a brook flowing nearby. That brook conveyed his ashes to the River Avon. The Avon took them to the Severn. The Severn took them to the mighty ocean. And the ashes of Wycliffe are a symbol of his teaching, which is now spread throughout all the world." Now, all the books I've read say that there are about 170 Wycliffeite or Lollard handwritten Bibles still in existence. I've seen one in Hereford Cathedral, I've seen one in the British Museum, but I don't know where all the rest are. But you must believe that the majority of them were in fact burned. How heartbreaking to know that there was a law on the statute book of our country saying that it was illegal to put the Bible out of the original languages and into the language of the people. That law existed in the 1300s and the 1400s, and anybody who broke it could be burnt alive as a result. So very few of those handwritten Bibles have survived. Can you just imagine the laborious work of handwriting a whole Bible? No word processors, no printing, no photocopiers, and no scribble on them either. Because if you go and look at them, every page is perfectly neat. But why do we need to mention John Wycliffe in a service like this tonight? Well, first, because familiar things can get taken for granted. If you put the water off and it stops coming through our taps, we start missing it. And every person here has an ultimate luxury. We have an ultimate luxury in that we have a Bible printed in our own language. Have you read it today? Will you be reading it tomorrow? Do you take it for granted? Do you know that people gave up their lives so that we could have a Bible in the English language? Judgment Day will reveal how well we use that privilege of having a Bible in our own language. Maybe Judgment Day will show that some of us gave more time to the TV or computer games or other things than to God's Word written. At least John Wycliffe didn't make that mistake of undervaluing the Bible. And secondly, John Wycliffe served Christ. He served Christ in every way that was open to him. If you think the spiritual situation in Britain today is bad, and in fact is worse than it was 600 years ago, you are telling me you don't know what it was like 600 years ago. It was infinitely worse in many ways 600 years ago. But out of that darkness, there comes a lonely voice, Wycliffe preaching the gospel clearly in his church in Lutterworth. We'll give him the last word. Here are some of his words from a sermon he preached on the subject of heaven. Salvation is not a process. Men must seek the Lord, and the moment they turn fully, God will save them. Whatever day or hour a man or woman leave their sin and turn to Christ, he will receive them in his mercy. May those words from a 600-year-old sermon mean something to some uncertain person tonight. Amen.